It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Top 5 at 5. Yep, this is me, Trey, me and Bear rolling along here. Start off with number 1. I'm just going to make this up. Kelly Harper and the Lady Vols are 7-0. Whatever. That's all I can think of for number 1. Jake didn't leave me with a 1. He gave me a 3, 4, 5. Wasn't prepared.
So you don't have a you don't really have a 1 or a 2.
No, I've got the 2. We're good.
Okay.
I got the rest of them.
Number 2.
Number 2, Georgetown basketball players Josh LeBlanc and Galen Alexander receiving restraining orders in November, resulting from accusations of harassment and burglary. And freshman Myron Gardner was accused of sexual harassment and assault, according to one of the findings. These findings were related to a CBS open records request that they got last night. According to court records obtained by ESPN, a Georgetown student filed on November 5th for a restraining order against LeBlanc and Alexander. School announced yesterday that standouts James Akno and Josh LeBlanc were no longer with the team. These are star players. One of them star players. Star player that's been playing all season.
Right.
And then the next of them is a backup who was filling in, has played every single game. And this came out of nowhere yesterday. Two of their star players decided to enter the transfer portal. That doesn't happen after 7 games in college basketball. That's weird.
I mean, not usually.
Not
is Ewing still the coach?
Yes,
up there?
Patrick Ewing's the coach. Yeah. Awkward. That was awkward. What's going on at Georgetown right now? And they just got beat by a nobody. UNC Greensboro is who they got beat by. So they're not having a good year. Number 3, the Pittsburgh Steelers liked what they saw from rookie quarterback Delvin Hodges in Week 13. After leading the Steelers in a close win over the Browns, Hodges will once again start for Pittsburgh in Week 14. Head coach Mike Tomlin announced today the 23-year-old Hodges was effective during the Steelers' 20-13 win over the Browns. He completed 14-21 attempts for 212 and a touchdown. Number 4, well, that's a good win for your Steelers. Browns are horrible.
I haven't fully decided if I'm going to go with the Steelers yet.
Okay. All right. I'll just wonder.
I'm probably going to decide at some point during the offseason.
Or maybe around playoff time.
Yeah, no, I'm going to resist the urge to jump on a bandwagon.
I feel you. Good job. Number 4, Tuesday night college basketball. All right. Tonight is a great night. If you like college basketball, tonight is the night for you. We got number 4, Michigan playing a top-ranked Louisville at 7:30 on ESPN. Cardinals are 5-point favorites, according to my bookie. At 9 o'clock on ESPN2, undefeated – why did you put this in there? Undefeated Indiana hosts Florida State. Okay, yeah, that game's going on. But let's not forget as well, Duke plays Michigan State tonight. Okay? So you've got Michigan versus Louisville. You got Duke, Michigan State. Have fun tonight. Watch college basketball. Enjoy it. I'm sure Davey will be praying for a Duke Blue Devils win tonight. Number 5, wrapping up everything, Kanye West is going to be performing at Pigeon Forge.
Performing what?
His Sunday gospel thing, his concert series.
What's this?
He goes out to like different churches and performs like a concert pretty much.
He's doing that in East Tennessee?
At Pigeon Forge.
He's not real. I mean, he's popular.
He's doing it but at like a young adults convention.
There's a pretty significant pocket of Kanye hate going all the way back to his disastrous performance at Bonnaroo at 4:30 in the morning.
That's true. I forgot about that.
They still write nasty words followed by his name on the fences down there.
He every is year. Coming to Pigeon Forge in January 18th through the 20th.
He's a cuckoo bird, isn't he?
Yeah, it's called the Standalone Festival. I mean, not festival, foundation, whatever.
It's huh.
Good. Yeah, it's good.
I mean, good for him, I guess.
It's going to be crowded up there. I won't go up there that weekend. All right, let's bring on my good buddy from Yahoo Sports, known Tennessee hater and Jarrett Garantano supporter, Nick Bromberg. What's up, buddy?
What's going on? Sorry, guys. I'm just so mad Tennessee is 7-5 and looking for win number 8 in whatever bowl game they end up in.
Dude, man, we've been talking with you all season, Nick. If you looked at that schedule, man, did you see Tennessee doing something like that, the turnaround that they
no,
have?
No, but also who envisioned the rest of the SEC East absolutely falling all over itself?
That's a good point.
I mean, piggyback on that, I'm still a little surprised that Mizzou fired Barry Odom. I understand that this is a team that realistically, when you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, you could have said this team can go 10-2 because of the way that the schedule was lined up and who they had at home. And they go 6-6, and it didn't matter ultimately because of the bowl ban. But you know, you've got now three SEC teams, and after a year where not a single SEC team had a new head coach, we now have three that are looking for new head coaches. Though, and as much as I'm surprised about Barry Odom being fired, I think I'm also more surprised that Matt Luke got the axe.
Isn't that wacky, dude? Like what?
Yeah, but guys, does he get fired? Nick, do you really think he gets fired if he wins the Egg Bowl, if that kid doesn't pull that stupid stunt?
Good point.
Here's the thing. How do you sit here, and I realize that college football boosters are not the most rational people sometimes.
Yeah.
But why would you commit to a $17 million rumored buyout when it comes to Luke and his staff? Obviously, some of that could be mitigated down the road with future employment. But we're looking at a potential $17 million figure here for all of the staff members. Got to remember, Ole Miss this year, in an attempt to right the ship, brought on Rich Rod to run the offense, Mike McIntyre to run the defense. And so you committed a lot of money to those guys.
Yep.
And so you got to pay out their contracts. And one 15-yard penalty, which is the funniest ending of a football game all season, funniest penalty all year. I love it. That's going to be the decision that makes you want to pull the trigger and spend all that money.
They're crazy about the Egg Bowl, man.
I have a hard time believing that.
No, and I see where Bear's coming from, too. And also, I could see that being like the last resort. Like, that was it. Like, they're lost. The way the team played down the end, I could see something like that where Ole Miss boosters and, you know, Carter, I mean, let's face it, he hadn't been on the job long as the AD. Not even long at all, not even half a year.
And Keith Carter a week ago said Matt Luke was our coach.
Right.
You know, that's the frustrating thing about this, especially for Matt Luke. You're sitting here going, wait a second. I didn't even get, like, this was beyond the public vote of confidence. It was, yeah, no worries. We're happy where we're going. And, you know, you got a guy who took over a program 3 years ago in absolutely weird and awkward circumstances. And, yes, they had not improved. I will totally say that. So this is not something that, you know, he had an 8-5 team and got fired. But I would love to go into that all-teams universe where Elijah Moore does not lift his leg. The extra point is from the normal distance. It goes through the upright. And Ole Miss loses this game 28-24 or 28-21 or something in overtime. And how does Ole Miss react? How do the boosters react after a loss like that versus the way it went down in actuality on Thursday?
Well, what's crazy about it, Nick, is, and we'll get off Ole Miss and get on Missouri and Arkansas coming up next, but what's crazy about it is, you know, according to reports and a good buddy of mine, Neil McCready, down there in Oxford, is that, you know, they, on Saturday, they tried to put it together where they said, hey, look, we don't want any pledges. We need the money right now. Like, don't pledge any money. We need the money to come up with it. And they came up with enough money that they thought that they were in a good spot to be able to get rid of Matt Luke. So isn't it interesting to see these boosters come out of the woodwork when things go awry like this?
You know, part of me also wonders if there was a little sense of urgency with Missouri making the move. Because when you have one other team out there, okay, you can sit there and say, what do we want to do? But now, because Missouri, Arkansas, and Ole Miss, they're all in the same zip code. And when it comes to what type of candidates you can go after and attract, you know, we're not talking to the cream of the crop here in the SEC. Personally, I think, I realize Missouri may not have the deeper pockets than in terms of boosters than, say, Ole Miss or Arkansas. Quite frankly, I think that's probably the more desirable job of the three simply because you are in the SEC.
Right.
And you have a pathway, you have a much clearer pathway to a top three division finish on a fairly regular basis than you do at Arkansas and Ole Miss. So
you're not playing Auburn, LSU, and Bama every year.
Exactly. And, you know, and you also have a Texas A&M team in your division that's now, you know, basically for 2 years now had the same record under Jimbo as they did with Kevin Sumlin that has delusions of 10 wins every year too. So, you know, you want to be in the East when you're in the SEC. So you'd think Missouri has the upper hand here, but at the same time, you know, based on the candidates that rivals have named for who Mizzou is going after, they're not the names / you know, splashy hires that I think Ole Miss / Arkansas would be would be aiming for. I think Missouri's fishing in a different pool than both the schools in the West.
Hey, speaking of Jimbo, Nick, at what point do you think he would be on – at what point does his seat start feeling warm? Because they can't be happy about this.
You got to wait until year four, right, simply because of the money. I mean, yeah. It's something I thought – what was it? Jimbo would be owed $16 million
on $60 million.
if they made the move, which they're not going to make the – you're right. It would be the absolutely most insane buyout. But this is where we're trending, you know, in college football. So I think if you got to say next year, you give him time to where the entire roster, much more or less, is his guys. And then when it doesn't start unfolding the way you think it's going to unfold, and I think as long as LSU and A&M, or LSU and Auburn and Alabama are where they are, you're going to have an A&M that's going to need a down year from one of those three schools to actually challenge 9-10 wins without a bowl game win there. So that's when it gets fun, and we start hearing about A&M fans being unhappy with Jimbo Fisher because things are not going to the standards that cannot possibly actually be met on a year-after-year basis.
I think Tom Herman's fired before Jimbo Fisher. I mean, that's
Tom Herman, when you're making staff changes like Tom Herman is,
thank you.
You have put yourself in a position where you cannot blame anyone else if something doesn't happen.
I mean, honestly, the only thing left is a dreaded vote of confidence, what do you think?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, if you change your OC and DC like that, Nick, I mean, what do you think, honestly, what do you think that gives you, a year or 2 years?
I would say 2 years tops, but here's the thing. You can't have 7-8 wins at Texas again. You got to have 9 and 10 wins. And this was a 9 and 10. I thought this was a 9 or 10 win team. And I joke every year about how, I mean, I think we fell for the Texas hype too. We were like, Texas is going to be good. You looked at that schedule, thought, okay, they're the second best team in the Big 12. There's a path, even with losing to LSU, there's a path to 9 wins there. Doesn't happen. Yes, Texas had some injuries running back. They really got hurt. But the offense absolutely regressed. The defense, you know, defense was not what we've expected it to be. There, you know.
I mean, it's bad if you fire your good buddy. I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, firing Orlando like that, God.
I know. And it's also, it just cracks me up that we're all sitting here going, man, we wish Texas and Texas A&M would play each other. Sure, let's go out and play in a bowl game, and one 6-6 and the other 7-5. Yeah, that sounds great.
It'd be,
you know,
ugly, man. I want to touch on two more schools. So Dennis Dodd had put out a little bit ago that Tulane's Willie Fritz spoke with Arkansas. Now, you know how this works. What happens is, you know, the agents will call up the writers and they'll say, hey, my coach talked to this school. It gets their name out there, gets them some pub, and then they can say, oh, I'm withdrawing my name from consideration. This is all part of the game. This is how college football works. But I ask you this because there are reports that they're going to go speak with Mike Leach potentially, and then you've got Lane Kiffin out here, and now you've got Willie Fritz on the record now, according to the source of CBS. The Arkansas job, man, like, to me it feels like Arkansas is in a little bit better of a position than Missouri right now. But you look at this situation, could you see Lane going from Boca to Fayetteville?
I could see, yeah, I could see, because he seems like the type of guy that would say, hey, I think I can go try my hand and win the SEC again.
There you go.
You know, but does Arkansas really want Lane? Is Lane, are we, just the situation you laid out, where agents are naming Lane, and Lane, we got to remember, is a Jimmy Sexton client.
Hey, exactly.
So, you know, get your name out there, Lane, do what you got to do. As far as Willie Fritz goes, he's been named at Mizzou, too. He's been named as a potential candidate and has potentially talked to Missouri as well. Okay. And if you're Willie Fritz, you almost got to wonder if this is your last big shot at a job in a Power 5 conference, because Willie is 59. He turned 60
this
year.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's not the trend when it comes to – oh, well, I take that back. We saw the trend reverse itself last year with Kansas hiring Les Miles – and North Carolina hiring Mac Brown.
And I guess State hiring Herm Edwards, too. Yeah.
Exactly. And, well, there's a team also making coordinator changes as well. So you wonder what the expectations actually are out there in Tempe. But, you know, we're kind of in this zone where does Hunter Yurecek see what happened in North Carolina going from Larry Fedora to Mac Brown and say, hey, maybe Willie Fritz is my guy there. And then you know, does Ole Miss have a candidate? Because if you're going to, again, you're going to go back to what we talked about, all the millions of dollars they shelled out to Matt Luke. Well, you better go find somebody, and you better go find somebody that's an upgrade. I think that's Arkansas. We know pretty much anyone is going to be an upgrade over what Chad Morris had done the last two seasons there. But when you've got basically 500 programs in Ole Miss and Missouri, you have to can't find the guy that's going to go hit you a single or a double. You got to go say, all right, we got to get the triple or the home run, because if we're paying the money to say mediocre isn't good enough, you have to be good to really good with this next hire. Otherwise, you're going to have some serious thinking.
But, Nick, man, Arkansas fans have built themselves up into a frenzy right now with this Lane Kiffin stuff over the last 3 days, man. And if they go – and I talked to two people last night in Fayetteville, and they've got themselves worked up so much with Lane Kiffin that if you go out and hire somebody like Willie Fritz, it's – and I'm not saying they are, but if you go out and hire somebody like Willie Fritz, or let's say, you know, Eli Drinkwood, whatever – man, it's not going to be a pretty picture when it comes to an Arkansas athletic program that is dying to get fans back in that stadium.
No, and it's not. You know, you have to find – you got to have the guy who has the cachet and is also going to win you some football games. Ultimately, winning the football games is what matters.
Right.
But I think what makes Lane Kiffin so attractive, and I can understand it from this point of view, is you can envision yourself saying, if Lane Kiffin comes to one of my three SEC schools, and if we can win 9 games a year with Lane Kiffin, we're going to have some damn good fun doing it.
Yep.
Or if this is bad, it's not going to be bad in the Barry Odom, Matt Luke, even Chad Morris to a certain extent, although Arkansas did have the hilarity with the guys flirting with the cheerleaders last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad in an epically disaster way that's going to be so awesome, and you're actually going to kind of end up enjoying it. So would you rather be bad where it's ridiculous and fun, or just kind of boringly bad?
That's a good way to put it. All right, two more questions for you, buddy, and we'll let you get out of here. Championship Saturday, well, you know what, actually championship weekend, because we start Friday night with the dreaded Pac-12 title game in a half-empty stadium in San Francisco. Your opinion on who comes out this weekend and is in the top four of the college football playoffs on Monday or Tuesday? I mean, how do you expect this thing to go?
Okay, so how I want it, how I would have it shake out, assuming a Georgia loss to LSU, and I really don't like Georgia's chances with Pickens being considered in the first half and Cager out for the game.
That's true.
Jake Fromm can't throw downfield regardless. You've got an LSU offense that you're really going to have to shut down if you want to try to outscore them. I think LSU wins this football game. So assuming LSU beats Georgia, I cannot get out of my mind the scenario where Utah takes care of business in a, hey, we controlled the game, but it's not the sexiest of games,
right,
win over Oregon. Oklahoma puts up 50 in a 50-37, 50-40 blowout our game against Baylor. Oklahoma's 12-1, Utah's 12-1. I think Utah is a better team. I think Utah beats Oklahoma on a neutral field. I think Utah is fully deserving of 4. I'm setting that up to say, I think the committee would pick Oklahoma over Utah in that situation.
You don't think they would go with the West Coast, man?
I think something about...
I get it. Jalen Hurts, the allure of Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma. I mean,
and there's something about the way the committee has elevated Baylor in the last 2 weeks
that's true.
That makes me think that they're going to give more weight to an Oklahoma win over a top-10 Baylor team than they are going to give to a Utah win over an Oregon team that'll probably, 13th or 14th tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes – oh, man. That'd be crazy. And I think the sleeper out of all of this that would just throw absolute chaos is if Wisconsin somehow plays the game of their life and beats Ohio State.
I think Ohio State's in. I think no matter what, Ohio State's in.
You think if they get beat by Wisconsin, they're in at 4?
Yes, I think Ohio State is automatic. I think Ohio State, no matter what, Ohio State's in and LSU's in. I think we already have 2 of the 4 teams figured out,
Okay, let me throw this one at you then. What if Miss Virginia just comes out and plays a perfect game and Clemson throws a couple interceptions, and now you got Virginia beating Clemson?
I think Clemson's out because I think the committee has shown that they don't value the ACC enough.
Yep.
Even with Clemson being as dominant as they've been, the committee's shown they don't value the strength of the ACC enough. I think Clemson will fall like 5.
And that's why we've seen Dabo so pissed in the media the last couple days.
You know, here's the thing. People aren't doubting Clemson. I don't think people are doubting Clemson. People are doubting the ACC. And it's not Clemson's fault that the rest of the ACC is garbage. I think you line up the AAC versus the ACC, you take a lot of those teams outside of Clemson. But anyway, you know, no one's disrespecting Clemson. They're just disrespecting everybody else.
Well, I know. Feinbaum's going to run his mouth, and that's what he does. So, end of it. Hey, right down the road from us, 169 miles away, the NASCAR Banquet Awards going on in Nashville. Just kind of, as you summed up the whole season, any kind of surprises you think are on the way? And just kind of wrapping things up, what did you think of Kyle Busch winning a wrestling championship last night?
Kyle Busch has won more wrestling championship than Richard Petty does. Just want to point that out.
Why did you tweet that last night?
He's got eight more wins and one more wrestling championship. I mean, who's the better driver? Clearly.
You should have maybe your that's when you're I can tell when I click on Twitter and you're throwing out the tweets about Kyle Busch being the winningest driver ever. He used to get me with that, Nick. He used to get me all riled up.
People were still falling for it last night. I gotta make some sort of, I was gonna go with actually a worse joke, but that would have been a lot meaner. But I was like, you know what? We'll stick with the bit. It's gotten me this far.
I'm glad you kept it at PG, man. Hey, do you see, just going out, man, any other surprises over the next 2 months in silly season in NASCAR? Anything else change?
You think we're kind of done? I'm not going to be surprised if there is one bombshell to come, but I don't know what it would be. I've learned to not be surprised by anything.
Yeah.
When it comes to NASCAR and the fact that, you know, I think the drama is going to end up being, you know, what's going to happen with teams and charters. We have 36 guaranteed charters, and it looks like there's going to be at least two or three charters up for sale, and we're in a NASCAR economy that there are a lot of sellers and there are no buyers.
So we're not going to have a DC Solar off season, right?
Let's not hope not. Don't jinx anybody.
I know, dude. Nick Romberg, you're the best, brother. I appreciate you coming on. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Happy holidays, brother.
Hey, same to y'all, and enjoy Championship Saturday. It's our last basically full football Saturday of the year, which hits me hard every time. It's like, didn't the season just begin 3 months ago?
That's depressing. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
Gosh, man. Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Always fun. Love Nick. Nick coming on for a long time. It's so depressing you hit me with that. This is our last weekend of college football. We get Army-Navy, but that's just not the same.
Yeah.
We get bowl games, but that's not really the same either.
Make it all the way through next summer again.
Oh, God, help me. All right, we'll be back on the other side taking your phone calls as well. 865-546-8200. Give us a call. Let's chat. I don't care what you want to talk about. We'll do it. It's a drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Hanging with us. Now, let's get back to the drive.
Back on the drive. Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Veteran linebacker re-signs with the team after spending the season out of the NFL. Can you guess the linebacker, Bear? He had a fake girlfriend.
Oh, man, makes it easy.
Manti Te'o.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's back with the Saints.
I didn't know he was out for a year.
See, I didn't either. I'm not going to lie. I'm acting like I did, even though I'm a Saints fan. I thought he was like on the injured reserve or something. So he's back in the league. Congratulations to him. Tennessee basketball tomorrow night. Going to play Florida A&M. It's just I need to get past this game, get the bench some playing time.
Who's next after this one?
Memphis.
And what date is that?
Next Saturday. Not this coming up Saturday, but next Saturday. Tennessee's 14th. Got 10 days off. Tennessee have 10 days off, get their finals done, taken care of, school, all that good mess. And then they'll come back and you'll play Memphis on a Saturday, primetime, ESPN.
Primetime or 2 o'clock?
Well, I call Saturdays primetime is like 3 o'clock just because I'm thinking
window.
Of college football. Yeah. So that'd be a fun game. I think tonight's matchups are cool, but I'm starting to it feels weird because I don't – maybe the hype will pick up next week when it gets closer, but I don't feel the hype right now.
No.
That game.
No. I mean, we'll see how it is next week.
Isn't it weird? I mean, I guess because they play Florida A&M and – Tennessee fans should – maybe they're still in football mode is the best way to put it. Just coming off the regular season, wrapping up in football.
Yeah, yeah. And it's – you know, with the three guys that left, I think expectations aren't nearly as sky high as they were last year. So
that's a good point.
And they can win the fan – you know, win their way into being the hot ticket again real quick.
Well, I think Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden are trying to bring that. And you can't – you can't get past some of the shots Lamonte Turner has made over the last couple of years, clutch games for Tennessee. I mean, The shot, I think.
I'd take him before anybody else if it came down to you have to have a three at the end of the game. He's who I'm taking out of everybody in college basketball.
I think, and maybe I'm wrong here. Now, we'll take your phone calls on this too, 865-546-8200. I think the biggest shot that I've ever seen Lamonte Turner make, and I was sitting there in Nashville on covering the game, and that kick out from Admiral Schofield to Lamonte, and he drains that three-pointer from the top of the key against Kentucky.
That was a pretty big shot.
To win, pretty much to put that SEC tournament game in the books. I think that was probably the biggest shot that Lamonte Turner's hit for Tennessee. And he's hit some big ones besides that. I think of
– probably.
Do you think that is? Or you think it's something like Ole Miss? Or,
No. It's the one in Rupp.
He made some big shots in the tournament as well?
Nah, but you bury a knife in Kentucky's heart at Rupp Arena.
So you think it's the one – so it was the one in Rupp? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't win up there often. But when we do, it causes them an incredible amount of heartache.
It's interesting to see how much these two guys – because, you know, it's a changing of the guard after this season. You know, the whole group of Admiral, of Grant, of Kyle, of Bone, of Lamonte, of Bowden. You know what I mean? So you got to soak it up this year because this is going to be a completely different Tennessee team next year. You got four guys coming in. You probably, I would think, you're going to have Triple J, Josiah Jordan James back next year if he continues playing like this. I mean,
I don't see him being a one and done yet.
I just don't see it either. And he's working to get his shot back. And for a guy that missed all of practice, all of October, all of preseason, dealing with an injury, I think he's just working to get his shot back, man.
Well, he might be. I mean, it's definitely going to set him back. I mean, I expect if you're going to throw around the term one and done, you need to come in looking like Wiseman did at Memphis, obviously Zion and Anthony Day, you know, all the other one and duns that come to mind for me. Triple J may fall into that. Who was the kid from Kentucky that had to stay for 2 years?
Oh, man.
From last year. He was on last year's team.
I'm trying to think. No, I get what you're saying because he has not. Here's the thing, though. He's produced everywhere else. Like, he's almost the leading rebounder on the team. So that's what kind of throws me off a little bit is the way he's been performing on the court besides shooting the basketball has been up to par.
Well, he's going to have an opportunity to become a true one and done. I mean, the ball's in his court.
By SEC hoops time, you would hope that he's got his shot down because you're coming out of the gates hot in SEC play. So you hope to get that down. I think Rick Barnes, and he was talking about it yesterday, the confidence that he has in the team. And for them to go down to Florida and split, you know, two games and beat VCU at the end.
Well, sure.
That's a nice start. And I think with what the rest of the season is going to hold, look, I'm stoked for Penny to come into TBA next Saturday just because I'm a college basketball fan. Like, that's why it's going to be fun. The atmosphere. You have 22,000 people in that arena.
Well, it's going to be lit up.
Right. You're going to have folks tailgating like they were doing for the Kentucky game last year on top of G10.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the reception is for Penny Softaway.
That's the interesting part of this thing.
The fist clench pictures and
right.
What is that from? The cartoon they always use as a GIF that Grant uses. Grant and Admiral. It's some kid show.
Bob's Burger.
No, it's like Bob's Burger's not a kid show, Trey.
Oh, okay.
It's a kid show. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's got the
I know what you're talking
cartoon
about. I know what you're talking about.
Character balling up its fist, so. I don't know. I mean, it'll have it all.
Do you think – is this a college game day worthy game? Now, I don't know if they do it this early in the season. I might be mistaken, but I don't know.
They might because football, see, it may be the first weekend. I think it is. I mean, Memphis-Tennessee, historically speaking, it's a great rivalry.
Right.
I hope there's some way they can work it out in the future to where we'll be playing them. But, I mean, I don't blame Barnes for not wanting to have anything to do with Hardaway. He's acted, you know – like a buffoon.
You have to wonder, though, how beneficial it is for Tennessee because
– I mean, for us, what's the benefit now?
I think Tennessee going out and playing the teams that they play right now, I think that's been key where you really don't have to worry about that down the road because of the competition that Tennessee is scheduling.
Really recruited. I mean, we've only had a handful of players out of Memphis, I guess.
When's the last one? Jarnell?
Yeah, probably. There's Jarnell –
C.J. Black, wasn't he? No, he wasn't out of Memphis.
J.P. Prince.
Yeah, J.P.
Tony.
Tony Harris?
Yeah. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a ton more, and Phil's going to be texting me.
No, it happens. No, but I look at, okay, that game is the standpoint. So Tennessee basketball is going to be on the forefront for a few weeks here. And then Tennessee football is going to kick back up when it comes to practice. You're going to see these younger guys getting a lot more reps during practice, I think. There's a reason why Elijah Simmons did not play on Saturday. That was to keep him out where he can play in the bowl game, which would be the fourth game, which was smart. He came out of the locker room in his sweatpants. I was like, all right, cool. Jeremy's not playing him today. He wants him to play in the bowl game. He's giving him that opportunity. I think that's pretty neat. I think here's the thing. You saw two players enter the portal yesterday when it comes to football. It's because it was the first of the week. They know finals are coming up, you know, this week and early next week. Go ahead and get that process started where coaches can start calling them. I think you're going to see after finals are over maybe two or three more players, but nobody name worthy in a sense. And this is now where, and I'll say this, agents are now calling athletic directors, telling them we need to figure out these contracts of these assistant coaches now. Like, this is the time period from now until January. Because there are two or three coaches on that roster right now with contracts. They're not coming up.
Right.
But contracts that have 1 year left on them that they don't want to go into the next year with only a year left in their contract. They want it renegotiated.
Who all? I thought some of them were coming up. They're expired.
So Rocker, Rump, Winky.
They had 2 year contracts?
No, I think this is their last year. Yeah, so yeah.
Two year contracts. Chaney got a 3 year last year.
Niedermeyer's already extended.
Niedermeyer ain't going nowhere.
Right. T. Martin, next year he will be going in on his last year.
I don't see T going anywhere as long as – from what I've heard is that he's happy and he's happy with – the big issue would be I've heard he's completely happy with where Caden's at as far as school. I mean, he's the starting quarterback at, you know – a Catholic, and
he doesn't want. I mean, okay, let's talk to him over summer. He doesn't want to have to move the family around once you already got your kid in a spot where he's good at baseball,
yeah,
and football.
He's getting, I swear to God, I'm not just, you know, pumping Catholic here, but they've got a great baseball program and a really good football program. He's getting coached. The academics are there. He'll be ready to hit the ground running whenever he decides which sport and what college he's going to.
Caden's
going to
play baseball, I'd imagine. There's a reason why. When T. Martin wanted to get out of L.A., he wanted to get back in the South because one big reason, too, is the Olympic baseball team. They do a lot of their and most of their stuff out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And that's what Caden is involved in.
But you never know. I mean, look at Kyler Murray. I mean, that's a guy that got a massive amount of money, first round draft pick, the whole nine yards, and you know,
is that knowing that you can go back and play baseball as well again?
I mean, probably, but I think it's more that the money's better in the NFL if you're good enough to do it. And I mean, I'm not saying I think Caden Martin is as good as Kyler Murray, but what I am saying is, His ceiling is that high. If everything breaks perfect for him and he develops and everything, I mean, his dad won a national championship at UT, and his older brothers won a national championship at Clemson. He's one of the fastest kids that I've seen play football around here in a long time.
I would say that they're happy to be here, but you know what? In this day and age in college football, if the money ain't right, you're going to flirt around. And trust me, his agent's working along with others. You would say that. It's been interesting. With a lot of coaches over there. That's why, and I know we got to take a break. But also, that's why I look at Tracy Rocker, and I see a coach that, man, would probably love to go watch his son Kumar play.
I see. You know what? You want to look at Tracy Rocker? Because Tracy Rocker's what? He's probably about 5, maybe 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
I see a guy that probably doesn't like a lot of the whole recruit. And that's just me. Pure speculation station, as Chance would say.
I would agree with you.
He just looks like, get up in your mid-50s. You aren't really wanting to. I wouldn't imagine, even if you are.
Fly around,
begging high school kids, you know. because he's incredible at his on-the-field job. I mean, you cannot deny that our defensive line, given what Rocker and those guys had to work with, they coached their asses
off this year. Torn ACL of Gooden.
Yeah. So I've got no problem with that, but college football's a recruiting game now.
You also have to look at it, too. Maybe a guy, he's set. He's got enough money. He can go be a consultant somewhere. He'd go to Vanderbilt with Derek Mason right now, watch his son play next season, if that really came down to it. So I'm interested to see how it play out. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk more about this. National stuff going on, coaching searches. Take your phone calls, 865-546-8200. It's Trey and Bear. We're rolling along on The Drive.
The Drive.
It's the best time of year in the sports calendar, and if you've been thinking about betting on it, now's the time to sign up with MyBookie. Between football season, the NBA, NHL, and more, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. Simply go to mybookie.ag, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio, and use promo code Knoxville. Tons of ways to play and tons of ways to win. Use promo code Knoxville to double your first deposit. That's promo code Knoxville. Mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Back on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Don't forget, overtime coming up next. Tanner Carson. I think Wetson's in the house. Weston is? Yeah.
Fish?
Is he not? Sorry, Stetson. That's my fault. Stetson's in the house.
Let's get ready to say, Filet Fish is on.
Yeah, I know.
Get blitzed.
I kind of messed that one up a little bit. Stetson's in the house. Okay, looking around the coaching world right now, there are reports now. Mike Leach is, I don't know if they did this to an intermediary or if they've talked to him. I'm trying to figure this out. Has talked to Arkansas. If you had to really look at it, Bear, would you want Lane Kiffin at Arkansas or would you want Mike Leach?
As a Tennessee fan?
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, I don't want to see Lane. I don't want to play Lane. I would say Leach.
I think
Leach would probably be more successful quicker because Morris is all about the spread, and he can come right in. And
he's got the players already there.
Yeah.
Nick Starkle, quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not that scared of Leach. Like, I don't know. I grew up during the 90s, and we kind of took care of business against Kentucky when he was up there.
Even Texas Tech. I mean, teams had they did, he had two or three good years.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, he's done nothing this year, and he's flaming out. Like that press conference Saturday night, that's what I was thinking about when Russell and everybody get all giddy over him. I mean, the stuff's funny at first, but if you aren't winning games, I mean, this is the SEC. You can't be a funny guy when you're losing games.
And also, man, he was talking to another grown man in a different profession, and if those words were said probably outside of that media area – it had gone a lot different.
Yeah, I don't
than
know.
How
I mean,
played
I saw
out
that
guy. Press conference.
I don't know if anybody's wanting a piece of the pirate. I mean, he's crazy.
No, I'm just saying words would have been a lot different. I mean, you let somebody sit there and degrade you, just straight up degrade you.
Degrade. I'm going to help you out here. I'm not going to bust you by. So what did the guy say?
He's a columnist. The guy that asked the question is a columnist out there. And let me try to put this in the right way. He's kind of like a John Adams in Pullman.
Okay. So he's a print journalist who
– yes. He's been around for a while. He's got a name.
Not a coach worshiper.
Not a coach worshiper. Somebody who's going to
– he's a Big J journalist who's going to ask
– truth, but also throw in some of opinion.
So what was the question he asked?
The question was about, do you think compared to your time here, your offense is it's where it's at. It really set him off. In a sense of, well, it doesn't matter. You're going to write what you're going to write anyways, and your opinion this, this, and this. And he just goes on and calls him a troll. And, man, it was just a press conference that was cringeworthy. And he sits there and degrades this journalist. And let me tell you something. A lot of people won't take that. And if you want to sit there and you want to talk trash and you want to do this and that at a time, you're also a man.
Well, that, Trey, and I mean, the old saying goes, you never start a fight with people that, buy ink by the barrel.
Right. That's a great quote. Great quote.
And you just don't. And
he pissed off a lot of people in Pullman by doing that.
Well, I mean, it's the same. I mean, Butch Jones did it here with his list. And
what did Butch? Butch did is, oh, if, you know, we're all trying to make Tennessee succeed, you know.
Well, no, I mean, I was talking about the absolutely ridiculous when I can't remember who. I think it was Stokes or somebody asked him if he hit, if he punched. Matt Crowder.
I remember,
Matt Chowder.
I remember the press conference where he was talking about how the media needs to all come together and be one for Tennessee. See, that's the thing. Like, you get a coach that comes up there and they want the media to play by your, you know, the pretty much what they're trying to get in is that Leach was attacking the journalist for doing his job and being opinionated. And I didn't agree with how that went about. There's ways to do that. If you want to confront a journalist, you want to talk to somebody that covers the team, you do that outside of the press conference area. You don't do that sitting there right in front of them. And you don't do that in front of your
Absolutely.
Peers. So that's why he's a jackass in my book. I lost a lot of respect for Mike Leach this weekend. As much as I had, I lost a lot of respect for him. Because if that happened anywhere, if Jeremy Pruitt would have done something like that, somewhere around here, God only knows. We'll talk about that on the side. We'll close this show up. It's a drive. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
As we begin the new year, smart businesses are looking at their marketing budgets, analyzing what worked and what didn't work in 2019. Is your website mobile free?
Without the process, this is The Drive.
The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along, closing out the show today. Let's go to the phone lines to take Roger. Roger, good afternoon to you, brother.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing fine, Roger. How about yourself, bro?
Doing fine. What's restaurant tonight?
He had to go to a school function for one of his kids. It's
okay.
A Christmas concert.
Christmas caroling.
I got you. Okay.
Hey, Roger, I'm going to flip the script on you today, man. All right?
All right.
Instead of you asking me questions, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Is that all right with you?
I got one question for you, though.
Can I
ask you a question?
All right.
It's okay. You go ahead and ask me a question. Can I ask you, go ahead first and I ask you at the end?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this weekend, your Central Bobcats are going down to play for another state title.
Right.
Are they going to win?
Hopefully. Not for sure, but hopefully. Not sure. Hopefully, who they're playing? You know who they're playing?
I have absolutely no idea. Probably a West Tennessee team.
Okay. Hopefully they win. What's your other question?
That was it. I was just wondering how fired up you were about your Bobcats. I know you get.
Oh, I'm really happy about playing fine. I'm still happy to play again. So I'm really happy about. I'm hoping it's go too.
Well, that is fantastic, Roger. What do you have for us?
Okay, well, I just want to ask you about another man play the past. Sorry, in that tournament, they won. I just want to ask you, have y'all been? Are you surprised that Tennessee playing? Are you both surprised about Tennessee playing well? I feel.
Yeah, no,
it's early.
Yeah, Roger, and I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for calling. No, I think Tennessee, they sit in a situation right now where they lost a game, and I think. That was going to be expected. I don't know who that was going to be up against, but you go up against a Florida State team that has the length. You bring it in 2 7-footers. They can shoot the basketball. And look, the problem is if Lamonte has an off night with turnovers and Bowden is not shooting all as well, Tennessee's going to struggle. They need it from their two guys. And I think they're in a situation right now where they bounce back on Saturday evening, and beat a VCU team. They had already beaten LSU this year that showed they have speed getting up and down the court. I think Tennessee played the game nicely. And, you know, it's interesting to me when I see Fulkerson listed as the top scorer in the box score. But other than that, I think Tennessee basketball is going to figure out their way for the rest of the season. It would be really helpful, Bear, and we talked about this, you know, go along with Ponds, you know, playing good and getting in double digits some nights.
Yeah, we just, I'm so still far, stuck on.
You need Triple J.
We need him, and we could really use getting
Devontae Gaines. And I agree about your Urus. I agree about that. I think you're sitting in a situation right now where potentially that ship has sailed, but the NCAA is not giving their final ruling. No, I agree. It could come out of nowhere. It really could. And the reason why I think it's taken so long is because they needed some more information, and they've got that, and now they're trying to go over it. But it's going to be interesting to see how Tennessee plays out the next 10 days as they get ready for Memphis and who's going to step up at practice and earn that playing time. Tomorrow night is a game where Tennessee needs to be up by 25 to 30 points in the second half where you can get some of these guys some playing time. You know, where you can
that
get
and rest.
Right.
Rest of these other guys, because starting with Memphis, there's not going to be.
No, the breaks are far between.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so they'll get a break around Christmas time, I guess, and, you know, here and there. But, I mean, the minutes just seem to, you know, they just add up. And I just don't want us to get in a situation where we're running out of gas in March and the beginning of April next
Especially
year.
If you're having to play Lamonte and Jordan Bound 30 to 35 minutes per game. Well, 35 minutes per game, mostly.
I mean, I don't, you know, Lamonte with a shoulder, and you're not wanting to put that much wear and tear on those guys this early in the season.
No, I agree with that, and I look at the situation that Rick Barnes and them are trying to find. You know, Olivier coming off the bench, Devontae Gaines coming off the bench, Drew Pember a big down low. So that part will be interesting to see how it plays out. Man, fun show today for Russell, for Bear. I'm Trey. Tomorrow we're going to be back. Hopefully we're going to have Cole Kubrick on tomorrow. I'll be rocking out some stuff. Talking coaching hires around the SEC and national as well as we get prepared for Tennessee basketball tomorrow night against Florida A&M. For Russ, for Bear, I'm Trey. This has been The Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.